1955, the tax on cigarettes in Alaska was 2.5 mils. That's 5 cents per pack. Those monies are in a dedicated fund for school construction, and nothing about this bill upsets that fund. In 1988 and 1989, I worked on an increase in this fee, and we increased to 24 cents per pack of the price of cigarettes. Alaska ranks 18th in the nation of taxation of this, so we're nowhere near the vanguard. There are not the votes, nor will I expect there ever would be, or it will be, you know, far down the road when there would be the votes to criminalize this behavior and use of this product. That's not within sight, and to wave that flag around of, you know, this being a referendum on the budget or a move to criminalize this this substance, I think sort of diverts the body's attention. And finally, I'd point out, Mr. Chairman, that this legislation is supported by the American Cancer Society, Substance Abuse Directors of Alaska, the American Lung Association of Alaska, the Alaska Native Health Board, Anchorage Municipal Human Services Commission, the State Health and Social Services Department, the Alaska State Medical Association, the Alaska Nurses Association, and numerous private citizens, including doctors and nurses. With that, I'd hope the body would pass the bill.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to respond to one little point that the Minority Leader made, it's true that we have had several other bills in the last 8 years since the representative and I have been here. But let's look at where we were at one time, and you can personally appreciate this. There was no tax on smokeless or other tobacco products. So we had no tax at all, yes, and I know that you do too. And so we put a tax on it. And that was reasonable because we were one of the few states that had nothing. And then at another point, we simply raised the tax to the median level. So we were very, very far down, and we simply brought ourselves into compliance with the rest of the country. And that's the reason that we have visited this several times.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I believe the Majority Leader to be incorrect when he says that we had no tax on cigarettes. We have had a tax since before statehood on cigarettes that is dedicated in the Constitution. And that particular tax, I don't remember what the percentage was, but in addition to the taxes quoted by the Chairman of the Rules Committee, I would also point out that the community that I represent also has passed very recently 8 cents a pack or 8 cents a carton tax on cigarettes. And we often talk about this being a sin tax and that people support a sin tax. Well, I've also surveyed my community. And when I surveyed my community, they did not come back in support of the, quote, sin tax. And in fact, we had a referendum in Anchorage, which overturned a tax passed by the municipality of Anchorage on tobacco and cigarettes, as I recall. And, Mr. Speaker, it is well known that I smoke, and even if we pass another tax, it's well known that I'll probably keep on smoking. But I believe that while, and I think the Minority Leader call it social engineering, I believe that you can social engineer only so far to the point of diminishing return and people get their bellies full of it. And they get tired of people that say they're going to control people's behavior through taxation. Whatever tax it is, it has to be acceptable to the public, or pretty soon they won't accept you. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Yes, just to respond to one thing that the previous speaker said. I'm well aware that we had a cigarette tax. We had no tax on other tobacco products.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill Number 2, Hess, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? the clerk tally the board.
22 yeas, 18 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 2, Hess, has passed the House. Representative Zawacki.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I serve notice of reconsideration of committee substitute for House Bill 2.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. Mr. Majority Leader, House Dennis. Come back to order. Before the IDs, we just completed an item on the calendar. And if there are no objections, there are just two short pieces of business that I'd like to take care of before we recess for a break here. Are there any objections if I go back to special committee reports? Any objections, Madam Clerk?
This conference committee considering committee substitute for Senate Bill 185, Judiciary amended, and second House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 185, State Affairs amended House, and act relating to conduct of legislators, legislative employees, former legislators, former legislative employees, and lobbyists, and to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, request limited powers of free conference on the following bill sections. Number one, the taking or withholding of official action by a legislator or employee. Number two, disclosures of gifts not connected with a person's legislative status. Number three, definition of family for purposes of provisions relating to gifts. Number four, representation of others for compensation. And five, members of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. The bill is signed by the conferee members.
At this time, the chair will grant limited powers of free conference on the items that were specified in the letter to us. Now, any objections going to unfinished business? Under unfinished business, there's House Bill 575, an act increasing the motor fuels tax and providing for an effective date. That bill is now in the Rules Committee, and with consent, that will now be turned back to the Finance Committee. Representative Darling?
Mr. Speaker, due to the 24-hour rule, I was wondering if we could go to committee announcements.
Are there any objections? Committee announcements? Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to announce that give 24-hour notice to the Judiciary Committee hearing SJR 4. That's legislature to confirm public boards.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under the same item, like to announce 24-hour notice to Labor and Commerce Committee for Senate Bill 74, High Risk Pool, Senate Bill 82, which I forget what it is, Senate Bill 340, which is lawful products use, Senate Bill 345, which is AFDF, Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation grant. Oh, and Senate Bill 82 is broadcast charitable gaming.
Any further, Representative Mackey?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give 24-hour notice of hearing House Bill 591, which is by the State Affairs Committee entitled an act relating to police protection services areas and municipalities, be heard tomorrow in CNRA.
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you. Under the 24-hour notice, I'd also like to note that House Bill 419, Special Education Related Services, House Bill 412, Insurance Coverage for Infertility, House Bill 537, Group Health Insurance for Small Employers, Senate Bill 396, Parental Care for Child in State Custody will be heard.
Representative Foster.
Yeah, 24-hour notice also for Transportation Committee, CSSB 324, an act relating to an earnings report on the Alaska Marine Highway Fund, SJR 54, supporting environmentally sound development of a northern sea route, and SCR 33, relating to funding for continuous lighting on sections of the Glen Highway.
Any Representative Navarre?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to announce that tomorrow morning we will hear in House Finance, House Bill 575, an act relating to motor fuel tax, SJR 1, right to keep and bear arms, constitutional amendment, HJR 2, also a constitutional amendment limiting legislative terms, HJR 19, a constitutional amendment relating to the dedicated fund for motor fuels tax, and HB 276, which is an act, it's an appropriation for fisheries tax refund program. All of those bills were noticed by the Finance Committee to the Chief Clerk's office this morning. I just want to notice it for people on the floor. There will be an additional list that I'll turn in to the Chief Clerk's office this afternoon, and I'll send a copy to the Minority Leader on what bills we're going to hear tomorrow afternoon in the Finance Committee. This is just for tomorrow morning's meeting.
Any further announcements? Representative Donnelly?
We've got one more for Judiciary, SB 262, dealing with overtime or minimum wage, I think.
Any further committee announcements? Mr. Majority Leader will be looking to recess until, I guess, 1:30.
Move and ask unanimous consent. We stand in recess. The call of the chair, approximately 1:30.
Would the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we're in the calendar. If there are no objections, I'd like to go back up to reports of standing committees.
Objection.
Madam Clerk, would you read the reports of standing committees?
The Resources Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 44, compensation for salmon interceptions, recommends due pass and passes zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Zawacki, Carney, Ivan, Lincoln, Lehman, and Hudson, with no recommendation, Davidson. HJR 44 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered sponsor substitute for House Bill 337, licensing of radiologic technologists, and recommends it be replaced with a CSLNC with a new title, had no recommendations and attached a fiscal note. Signing due pass, Taylor, Bruckman, Donnelly, Parnell, and Finkelstein. The report was signed by Chairman Finkelstein. House Bill 337 has a further referral to the Hess Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 417, loan authority of AIDEA, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute finance with a new title and due pass. Signing due pass, Navarre, Brown, Barnes, Larson, and Phillips, with no recommendation, Boyer, Sharp, and Ulmer, with signing to amend Kopanen. The report was signed by Co-Chair Navarre. House Bill 417 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 587, Employee Contributions for Retirement. Recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute State Affairs with the same title and no recommendations attached to fiscal note. Signing with no recommendation, Kubina, Moyer, Choquette, Baker, and Gruenberg. The report was signed by Chairman Kubina. HB 587 as a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered Senate Bill 448, approved Kuparik River Unit Royalty Sale, recommends due pass, signing due pass, Davidson, Lehman, Hudson, Ivan, and Zawacki, with no recommendation, Lincoln and Carney. Report was signed by Chairman Davidson. Senate Bill 448 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports.
This brings us back down into the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you read the next item on that calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill 191, Finance, an act relating to early intervention services for certain young children and their families and providing for an effective date. Third reading.
Third reading, and under debate, there is a call on the House. Is there any debate? The members are filing in now. Here's a bunch. Would the House stand at ease while we wait for the House come back to order? Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would lift the call as concerns Representative McLean, who I believe is working with the other body at this time, may not be available. I would ask that the call be imposed, though, on the rest of the membership.
Representative Davidson.
If I would just object to lifting the call, Mr. Speaker. And if the call is lifted, then I place a call.
The call has not been lifted. It was the understanding that quite possibly the Representative McLean may be talking with her counterpart in the other body in relation with CIPs. Representative Mackey?
I think the request is a very good one, and I'd request a vote on it if we have to.
No, you can't. If there are objections, to call it. Is there objections? Somebody makes full, Representative Davidson, you have still have a full call?
Yes.
Okay. The call has to be satisfied. Would the House stand at ease? The call has been satisfied. We have before us committee substitute for House Bill 191. It is in third reading and under debate. Ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 191 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
40 yeas, 0 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 191 Finance has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask the item of consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Zawacki.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I serve notice of reconsideration on CS for House Bill 191.
Okay, notice of reconsideration has been given on 191. Madam Clerk, would you read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill 369, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to the price paid to fishermen for salmon.
Before us in third reading. Ready for the question? Representative Jackal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I probably should point out that House Bill 369, as in its present form, simply requires that prices be included on the fish tickets and on the premise where the salmon is bought and sold. When I originally introduced House Bill 369, I had intended to attempt to address the problem of pre-season pricing. However, in last committee of referral, that was the bill was amended to where it only requires that the price be included on a fish ticket. So it's pretty it's a lot less than what it originally started out to be. I should probably also point out that it does not preclude price adjustment at any time. Legislation is supported by United Fishermen of Alaska. It has a zero fiscal note. Urge support to the bill. Thank you.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 369, Labor and Commerce, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
40 yeas, 0 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 369, Labor and Commerce, has passed the House. Madam Clerk, the next item.
House Bill number 384, an act by Representative C. Davis, an act relating to administrative costs of contractors under the daycare assistance program.
Third reading, under debate. Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 384 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
30 yeas, 10 nay.
House Bill 384 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, the next item.
Committee substitute for House Bill 387, Resources Amended, an act relating to accrediting engineers for inspections of wastewater systems for single-family homes and duplexes and relating to the accreditation of engineers and environmental consultants for the assessment and cleanup of sites contaminated with hazardous substances.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Boyer.
May we have a brief at ease? I'm having an amendment.
Would the House stand at ease?
Thank you.
before us. It is in third reading. There should be an amendment circulating. Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we move back to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 2.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the bill has been moved back to second reading. Madam Clerk, would you make reference to amendment number 2?
Amendment number 2 by Representative Boyer.
Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move amendment number 2 and ask unanimous consent.
Are there objections? Are there objections? Hearing none, amendment number 2 has been adopted and the bill moves back to third reading. Are you ready for the question? Representative McLean.
Yes, under discussion, I'd like to know the type of impact it's going to have for rural areas, because I know that we don't have a lot of engineers, accredited engineers, that, especially with single-family homes.
Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bill does not change the current and will not change the current scope of practice with regard to the Department of Environmental Conservation. Currently, the Department of Environmental Conservation sends their engineers out, or their staff people who review these systems to rural areas that do not have these types of engineers. For instance, in Kodiak, they fly someone out from Anchorage to review these types of things. That current practice will not be changed. This only applies to urban areas where there are sufficient private engineers to conduct this work for the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Representative Navarre, with the House stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 384.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 384. The bill that we have before us now is in third reading and under debate. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I may talk on general terms, probably the area that's affected most in regards to this is the Mat-Su Borough, although many other areas of the state are also affected to one extent or another. But one of the problems, as I see under the system presently, and I don't see any changes here in this piece of legislation, is that you have a qualified, trained engineer who designs a project, and then that project is reviewed by someone on the DEC staff who is a non-engineer and oftentimes requires then the engineer to make design changes. And then in the future, when those systems fail as a result of those design changes, who, of course, is the deep pocket? It's not DEC, it's not their non-engineer, but it's the engineer who designed the system that had to change it upon recommendations of non-engineers. And what I see this bill calling for is those non-engineers now to go out and train the engineers so they can become qualified to design a system. And as a result, I don't think the situation we have is improved any. I think it deteriorates some. And also, who is it that we're designing these systems for? It's for the secondary banking market here. And I would say if they require these things, they should be the ones then who should pay for it. So, therefore, unless someone can answer those questions, I'm a no vote on this bill.
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to maybe step through a little bit of this, and maybe the sponsor would like to respond to some of that. The DEC, this started with the DEC proposing to reduce some of its role by not reviewing some of the designs for single-family residences and duplexes, and I applaud that move. I think it's a good move, and it puts the work in the private sector where it rightfully belongs. For some reason, the secondary banking market, the lenders are looking for additional protection. I don't believe that additional protection is necessary. They disagree on that, apparently. And because of that, that's causing some problems with our
the primary banks, the like the National Banks of Alaska, First National Bank of Anchorage, and some of those who lend, it appears that it places an additional responsibility to them or additional liability on them if these plans are not signed off by either somebody who works for the health authority or somebody who has been approved by that health authority specifically for that work. I believe that a registered professional engineer has that sufficient training, and there's a certain professional ethic, and I think that other professions have the same, which is if you're not practicing in that field or you're not working your field of competence, you don't do the work. And you know, this is, I guess in the engineering field, this is not a particularly difficult field, the single family residences and duplexes. And yet there's a fairly limited group of people who participate in that marketplace, and I'm not aware that there's a real problem with the caliber of work that's being done. To resolve this, it's almost like a compromise has come together, and DEC has proposed a training class or maybe even just an exam that would somehow satisfy the bankers that the engineers have sufficient additional training so they understand the regulations. I think that all the engineers have to do is read the regulations and accomplish the same thing. But they're proposing this could be as simple as just taking a fairly brief exam. They are proposing a fee with this, about $100 for the single family residence endorsement and $150 for the hazardous materials endorsement. We have now protection through the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and the Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors for testing and licensing engineers. I believe this is sufficient protection, and I just wanted to be fair in the analysis because I understand the balance we're trying to achieve, trying to help the banking institution, and yet on balance, I've decided to vote no on this bill. It won't affect Anchorage because within the municipality of Anchorage, that function is taking being carried out by the Department of Health and Human Services already. So it really doesn't. It won't have an impact on Anchorage. It will have an impact on some of the other areas, probably the Kenai Peninsula and the Mat-Su Borough and maybe some areas around Fairbanks mostly. And I understand the department will continue to function in its review role in many of the other areas of the state. My conclusion is that this is not necessary. I appreciate and respect those who have worked so diligently on it, however, trying to come to some conclusion and resolve a challenge that really shouldn't be there.
Representative Boyer.
Well, it's a dirty business, I guess, and I hate to be involved with it. I never thought a few years ago when somebody asked me if I'd be involved with wastewater issues that I'd be involved with them, but here I am, and it's primarily because we in Fairbanks, the Fairbanks LIO is upstairs from a bank, a lending institution, and it was called to my attention that this was a problem by our local banker. And that's really what we are. I think the representative from East or West Anchorage, Extreme West and South Anchorage, is correct. I agree with all of his comments. He understands the issue absolutely. And we've tried to add some language that lends comfort to the engineering community. And that's what the purpose of the Second Amendment was. I'm not sure, to answer the member from Mat-Su, I'm not sure whether or not the engineer who makes a modification because of someone in DEC, regardless of whether or not that person is an engineer or a non-engineer, whether or not the engineer, because of that structural change or modification, is the deep pocket, if that change or modification results in some malfunction. I'm not sure about the liability or of that issue, and perhaps an engineer or someone more specific could answer that question. But the point is that the approval by a health authority is something sought by the secondary bond market. And most of our paper, our loan paper, is sold on a secondary market. And we did not want to see a situation occur where, because of a budget-driven decision to cease doing something that they've historically done with single-family and duplex units, that because of a budget-driven decision, people were either kept out of new homes or extended a period here in which they would get into new homes. And that was kind of my interest, was in making sure that that didn't occur. And so we literally have worked with the Mortgage Bankers Association, the AHFC, the Association of Realtors, the Home Builders Association, and generally the building industry across the state of Alaska to make sure that that kind of delay doesn't occur. And so this is fairly innocuous in its real impact. It's very much feel-good language, comfort language for the banking institutions. I would hope that we move this bill forward. It's got obviously some distance to go in the next 7 days, so I would urge members to vote yes.
Representative Jackal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And looking at this building in section, this bill in section one of it, I guess I have to ask the prime sponsor the definition of a system. In this, in section one, it states that it would require these engineers and environmental consultants and whatever to inspect existing systems as well as if you're installing new systems. And I guess the reason I wonder about the definition of a system, does this mean then that you would have to go and, if you had a honey bucket system, that they'd have to go and inspect your honey bucket? And if you were going to get a new honey bucket, would you have to get these environmental engineers and consultants to come in and inspect your new honey bucket?
Any further debate? Representative Taylor.
Well, I think this is a prime example of what happens when we get a little carried away down here in our environmental concerns. The banking industry picks up on it, decides that there's a major concern here, and instantly what you've done is you drive the cost of every single home up, whether it's a new house or an old house. And somebody's got to come in and verify that the sewage treatment system or the wastewater treatment system is adequate. Because of that, we entered into a sale of state land in my community of Wrangell, where about 4 miles of property was sold off adjacent to a highway. And after the state sold it all for building sites, then DEC walked in and said none of the land perked, so nobody could build any houses on it that could be financed by a bank. Every one of these people had gone out and they'd put in their foundations and they were doing the initial clearing work, getting all set to build some beautiful homes out there. They couldn't get one of them financed. They can't get any of them financed today. DEC has decided you have to put in a thermos bottle, basically, put it all in the thermos bottle, the big tank, and then have a certified utility, which is a person who pumps out tanks. They have to be certified by the APUC, and they have to guarantee to APUC that they're going to be in business for at least 5 years. Well, where do you find a guy to pump out stuff out of sewage tanks in Wrangell, Alaska, and promise APUC he's going to be in business for 5 years? So does any of this that we're doing here today have any effect on real human beings out there? Doesn't have a fiscal note for us. Gee, it must be okay. It's got one heck of a fiscal base for everybody living in your districts, because every time they go to sell a house, buy a house, build a house, they've got to be in compliance with DEC's requirement. Now we're going to have to privatize it. Somehow this is going to be better if we privatize it. We're going to privatize it by turning it all over to the private engineer who happens to live in town, who can now charge us a fee for doing what DEC was doing before. This is a benefit to the taxpayers of Alaska and the people who elected us down here? I don't think so. It is if you're really concerned about this type of pollution getting into the environment and you really believe that it's a major problem in your community, and maybe it is in Anchorage where you have a lot of people and a lot of subdivisions that have gone in. Maybe it's a real problem because you've got a lot of people stacked up real close to one another up there. I'm not aware of major typhoid epidemics or other problems going on in the state, but are we spending a fortune on this? I'll guarantee you we are. We ought to eliminate the requirement altogether, go back to where it has to be done on fourplexes and above, and take everybody out of this process instead of keeping everybody tied up in it. So I'm like the gentleman from the Mat Sioux. I think the bill is a mistake across the board.
Representative Sherry Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I worked fairly extensively as a subcommittee chair on this bill when we had it in CRA and feel pretty familiar with the issue. A slight correction to my co-representative from District 1. We have some serious problems with sewage in our district, systems that have been put in that don't work in our area very well, and we're starting to see some results of that in people having problems getting loans and that sort of thing, and I suspect that'll only get worse until we find some resolution to it. But I don't think that has anything to do with this bill. The issue, very simply, was DEC had for however long done these approvals, which basically was going through the paperwork and making sure every line was filled out and whatever after the engineer had done the work. The people that are concerned about this are the bankers, all right, but it's not because they're something to do with the banks in Alaska particularly. It's the secondary market. It's the FHA people who require a health authority to be certify these things in between, some step in between where there's a health authority between the engineer and the actual loan going through. And we were faced with a situation where DEC, under legislative direction, obviously, had decided they were going to have to start charging fees for these things if they were going to do them, and they decided in this case they wouldn't do it at all. But the bank stepped in and said, we're not going to be able to get these secondary mortgages. So we were looking in the subcommittee for a solution that was the least onerous solution we could find, and this bill, as it's before you, is modeled after what Anchorage, as I understand it, does. They do a training-type course. They offer certification, and then they have a list of approved and certified engineers. And that was the only the reason for this was to try to make sure there's some kind of an assurance that we can continue to have those FHA loans and that sort of thing available in Alaska, because they could very well not be without this. Thank you.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It would be very nice to go back to the old days where everybody could just do whatever they wanted. But the fact of the matter is, Mr. Speaker, we've come to the point in our great state where we have some problems out there. I know in Kodiak, we're going through this very same thing. I know that the good colleague from Wrangell talked about PERC tests, and of course, it's nice to know that there's someone in the area that can understand what a PERC test does and that your drain field works. The alternative to having legislation that does not do anything, Mr. Speaker, is to have your children walk through neighborhoods exposed to hepatitis and other kinds of weird little matters, because we simply aren't doing the job of taking care of our own situation. So I rise in support of the legislation, and I, with everyone else, I like fewer I don't like more rules, and I don't like to pay more people for more inspections. But in my current situation, if I don't have at least someone to turn to, then it's gridlock. And so, if nothing else, this bill gets us off of gridlock. It is not a perfect situation here, but I think, and I thank the sponsor of this legislation, it's an attempt at recognizing the problem and doing something positive about that problem, Mr. Speaker. So I would urge a favorable vote on this bill.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A lot of what's been said I don't disagree with. I think a lot of it is just a process that must be gone through. As I understand it, an engineer is responsible for the design. And if that design fails, he is the one that is liable. What we have here is a situation where those engineers have to be looked over by someone else who may not be an engineer. But yet, when that person who is not an engineer requires the engineer to make design changes, the person who makes the engineer makes those design changes is not liable. It's the engineer that continues to remain liable. And why do we have all of this? Because of the secondary banking market. And my only point is, if they want some government agency to oversee the engineer, then they are the ones that should have to pay for it. It shouldn't be the state, shouldn't be the engineer, shouldn't be the borough, shouldn't be the purchaser or the seller. It should be those who are demanding the services or the oversight by the government who should have to pay for it. And that's my argument here. Plus the fact that I don't think an untrained person should be overseeing trained professional engineers in their design.
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just ask the sponsor of the bill to explain again on page 2, the section on accreditation for assessment and cleanup of contaminated sites. In part, it says the department shall develop a program for the accreditation of engineers and qualified environmental consultants to perform assessment and cleanup of sites contaminated with hazardous substance to ensure that assessment and cleanup meet standards adopted. There's, I've had some cases in my district where there have been some contaminated sites, and I'm just not sure on this particular section here of what is a contaminated or a site that is contaminated with hazardous substance. I'm not sure if that would lead to areas of the state, and especially the rural areas, for having a engineers to come out to review this contamination of hazardous sites. I'm just not very clear on that section.
Representative Boyer.
This I can answer a whole host of questions, or try to answer a host of questions. Nobody's going to be dipping into your honey bucket or causing anybody else to be dipping in or out of your honey bucket. It doesn't affect honey buckets at all. With regard specifically to environmental concerns out of control, this legislation, I don't think, creates any more or any less control over what is in place currently. Bottom line is that we ought to thank the administration. The administration, not unlike most of us, wants to find a way to cut the cost of government, and not unlike some of us, wants to privatize some of the functions that government is currently doing, and that is the policy of DEC at this point in this area. They've this was a $500,000 plus program in DEC that's not there anymore. It was funded by the government. It's not there anymore. We're cutting the back on government, and so we've privatized it, or we're attempting to privatize it here, and we're trying to assuage the concerns of the banking industry that the new private engineers who have been doing most of this work anyway have read the health regulations and the plumbing code as it applies to these types of installations. It's an assurance that that has in fact occurred, and in all likelihood they'll pass a little 10-question quiz that shows that they've read those two documents. Who pays was the issue, and the representative Matt Sue said if these banking institutions are going to require these things, they ought to pay. Well, when is the last time you ever went to a bank and they paid for anything? I mean, if you borrow a car, you pay through the nose. If you buy a house, you pay through the nose. If you borrow money, you pay through the nose. The bank never pays for anything, and it manifests in closing costs. And it used to be just last year and through February of this year that AHFC was on the dole for this. It cost AHFC $250,000 last year that they contributed to this through a program receipts authority to the DEC for a piece of that. So indirectly, all of us may well have been paying for that through AHFC. But again, it does manifest. This is private sector banking we're talking about, and that always manifests in closing costs. With regard to the accreditation for assessment and cleanup of contaminated sites, that deals primarily with an accreditation process whereby the engineers and qualified environmental consultants will be, again, make sure that those people know what the regulations are, specifically in this case to underground storage tank that whole initiative with regard to the underground storage tank issue and contaminated fuel sites is what the proposed regulations will get at. And so the department, in anticipation of that, saw this as an opportunity to design some type of accreditation program to make sure that the engineers and the qualified environmental consultants who are going to deal with underground storage tank problems are, in fact, qualified to deal with that set of problems. And that's the only anticipated problem area that has come up in the hearings on that. I hope I've answered most of the questions.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 387 resources amended pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk
23 yeas, 17 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 387, resources amended, has passed the House. Madam Clerk, would you read the next item on the calendar?
Mr. Chairman, Speaker.
Representative Taylor.
Yeah, I'd give notice of reconsideration of 384, 387. Thank you.
Notice of reconsideration on 387. And I think 384, there was Representative Navarre placed a reconsideration on that one. Representative Boyer?
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Is it appropriate to ask that one of those reconsiderations be brought up on the same day?
With the House at ease, Mr. Murray. See, before the at ease, we had just completed an item on the calendar. Madam Clerk, would you read the next item, please?
Committee substitute for House Bill 534, Judiciary Amended, an act relating to constitutional, civil, and human rights and providing criminal and civil penalties for violations of constitutional, civil, and human rights.
The bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, there is one issue that I wanted to raise and get the clarification in the record as to what the meaning is in Section 5 of the reading here with respect to subsections B and C. And I've spoken with the sponsor about this, and I know that this is not what he intends this to say, but I just have a nagging curiosity about how this might be interpreted were the question to come up, and whether we're saying that it's unlawful for the state or a political subdivision to carry on activities in a facility that does not afford full privileges to the physically disabled. And my concern about this, Mr. Speaker, is that, as the body is aware, the new federal law, the Americans with Disabilities Act, imposes quite sweeping standards on the state and all our political subdivisions to make all of our facilities fully accessible to people with all types of disabilities. The state is far from being in compliance with this law. And my concern was that we not preclude the use of our facilities while we are in the process of coming into compliance with this federal law. And I would like for the record to have the sponsor discuss his understanding of this provision.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The representative and I have had quite a conversation, and I think we are both on the same track here. And the purpose of this colloquy is to put on the record the legal response we have received. And we have a legal opinion from Robert Casey at Legal Counsel, and if I may, it's very brief, if I may read it into the record, Mr. Speaker. You have asked whether Section 5 of CSHB 534 Judiciary would forbid state activities or expenditures or reimbursement for state activities in restaurants that did not provide special facilities for disabled persons. The answer is no. The key to this issue is the membership, and that word membership's underlined, qualification in the phrase, quote, establishment or facility that does not afford full membership rights and privileges, unquote. It applies equally to the words, quote, rights and, quote, privileges. Restaurants generally do not deal in membership, so they do not withhold membership rights or membership privileges based on the categorizations listed in the bill. In sum, the bill's provisions would not be invoked by failure of a restaurant to provide facilities for disabled persons. Once again, what this is talking about is prohibiting activities in facilities, et cetera, that do not afford full membership rights and full membership privileges. It does not deal with the access issue that's covered in separate legislation. Thank you.
Any further debate? Ready for the question? A quorum has not been satisfied, or the call has not been satisfied. House entities? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. The call was not satisfied at the time that we had the at ease, and it is now. We have Representative Choquette, who's running on the slow lane, and it'll take him. Oh, there he is. Okay. Well, he started about 15 minutes ago on the way out, and he finally made it. Okay. Is there any further debate upon this? Representative Navarre is right out the door here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, but during the last at ease, I raised a question that has now led to a series of discussions, myself and the majority leader, that may very well lead to an amendment, and we're both desperately searching for it right now. I thought it was in the bill, and it is not.
Mr. Majority Leader, maybe it'd be proper to move it down the bottom of the calendar. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move this that we take this up after House Bill 540.
Are there any objections? The bill will be taken up after 540. Madam Clerk, would you read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 563, an act relating to approval of disability insurance rates.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Taylor.
Is it my understanding that this is what would be construed as the House's health care package this year? I mean, I've been told that that's the only thing that's going to come out, but if it is, I would hope that we could do something a little more than just inquire as to the manner in which disability insurance rates are calculated and what rights they would have under those. I was kind of hopeful of seeing some other legislation here, but maybe I'm only seeing part of the package.
Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This legislation is a recommendation of the Health Resources and Access Task Force. It's supported by the administration as well as the Hospital and Nursing Home Association. And I'm not going to rise to the minority leader's debate for a debate and just say that there's more to come.
Any further debate upon this question? Are you ready for the question? The question is, question is, shall House Bill 563 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Taylor.
Yay, nay.
From yay to nay. Is any other member? Will the clerk tally the board?
36 yeas, 4 nay.
House Bill 563 has passed the House. Representative Zawacki.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Serve notice of reconsideration on House Bill 563.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on 563. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill 568, State Affairs, an act relating to the appointment, removal, term, and personnel classification of the person who administers laws relating to workers' compensation.
Third reading, under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 568, State Affairs, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
26 yeas, 14 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 568, State Affairs, has passed the House. Representative Taylor?
Yes, reconsideration, Mr. Speaker, on 568 and 563.
563 already has been reconsidered. You got to keep alert this time of year. Madam Clerk, would you read the next item on today's calendar? Okay, we are still have some citations. Let's see how we do on these, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, we have one citation on the calendar today. I move and ask unanimous consent it be approved.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the citation has been adopted. That brings us down to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader?
Oh, I was just going to mention to the body, Mr. Speaker. I did find the amendment. I've given it to the clerk. I think they're in the process of copying it now, and within probably just a few minutes, we could move ahead and bring up 534 again, just for your information.
Okay. Mr. Majority Leader?
May we have brief it?
With the House entities. Let's come back to order. We are now under unfinished business. Are there any objections to dealing with the bill 534 at this time? Hearing no objections, Madam Clerk, would you put that on the board? We had it in third reading. And the member should have an amendment before you, amendment number 2 to 534. Okay, the bill is before us in third reading. Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I realize the time is late, but I would call upon the body and ask the privilege of moving from third reading back to second for the purposes of a specific amendment, amendment number 2.
Are there objections? Are there objections? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you make reference to amendment number 2?
Amendment number 2 by Representative Taylor.
Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The primary purpose of this amendment, and I had thought that it was encompassed within the legislation, or I would have offered it yesterday. As you can tell, I've had it prepared for some time. The primary purpose of this amendment is to insert within this civil rights bill the civil rights, a mini provision from the Civil Rights Act federally, 1983. This act and this portion of the act provides the greatest single teeth or leverage, depending on how you might want to look at it, that was contained in that act as passed by the federal government. Because of that act and these provisions specifically within that act, it has allowed individuals to go to seek redress and seek it effectively before the courts of the United States. And it's for that reason that I offer this amendment, because it really puts teeth into what we mean by the Civil Rights Act. And I'm sorry that it wasn't in here, but it's my understanding from the sponsor that he was concerned as regards a fiscal note that was implied that might result if this occurred. And
I don't care what the cost of this one is. I think it has to be.
Are there objections to amendment number 2, Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I obviously strongly support this amendment. It's a little section 1983 and will allow people to vindicate in court civilly if their civil rights are violated. And I think it's particularly important that we do this now with the current federal judiciary. People are going to be turning more and more to state courts to protect them. And I'm going to be very frank with you, Mr. Speaker, that the reason it's not in here is I was told that this would lead to $1 million fiscal note, and I'm afraid it may endanger the bill. I strongly support it, but I don't want to endanger this important civil rights legislation. And I've talked with the minority leader, I hope that he would correct me if I'm wrong, and what I'm going to say is we will not allow this to endanger this bill, and if it appears that it's going to endanger the bill, this will come off. Yes. And with that, I would ask that the members concur, but I will do all we can to make certain that this legislation passes, and I hope we can keep this on there.
Are there any objections to amendment number 2? Any objections? Hearing none, amendment number 2 has been adopted. The bill goes back before us in third reading and is under debate. Ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 534, Judiciary Amendment, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, 0 nay.
The committee substitute for House Bill 534, Judiciary Amendment, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader, would the House stand at ease? To order. Before the at ease, we were under unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
I, at this point, would like to bring up my reconsideration on House Bill 327.
Notice of reconsideration is being brought up.
Boy, they're eager today.
Okay. The bill under reconsideration is before us in third reading and under debate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 6 has been distributed, and I would request unanimous consent to go back to second reading for the purpose of considering amendment number 6.
Are there any objection to going back to second reading? Hearing objections, very briefly explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment does two things, and I would commend to the members the two-paragraph memo attached to the amendment. One thing it does is it deletes sections 2 and 3. Sections 2 and 3, at this point in the bill, authorize the lieutenant governor to implement the closed primary. And I don't think we should be on record as doing that. Secondly, it substitutes a new section. The new section is listed here. People in certain parties that I will not name may wish to have a closed primary, but that doesn't mean that the state should be paying for it. And this would prohibit the use of any state funds, any state facilities, any state employees. If they wish to do it, let them pay for it themselves. I'd ask permission to take it back to second reading.
Okay. The question before us is to move back to second reading for the purposes of the amendment that was briefly described by the majority leader. And I don't want debate on the amendment to any extent beyond Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I shall certainly attempt to be as brief as the majority leader. Mr. Speaker, I don't believe that we should return to second reading for an amendment as preposterous as this one. I think there is a federal United States Supreme Court law that allows a party to choose which primary or how they will conduct their primary. And for any member of this body to so blatantly trot out an amendment like this, asking to return to second reading to pass it, is one of the most appalling things I have seen in the years since I've been on this floor. Thank you.
Okay, the question before us is going to be returning to second reading. If those members of this body would like to continue to hear this debate, it sounds like it might be interesting. Okay, ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 327 Judiciary amended be returned to second reading for the purpose of an amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Martin, the roll is open for you. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Martin. To what? To what?
From mistake to Martin.
From nay, from yay to nay. Okay. Does any other member wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk, would you take the roll?
27 yays, 13 nays.
Okay, the bill is back before us in second reading. Madam Clerk, would you make brief reference to the amendment?
Amendment number 6 by Representative Gruenberg.
Move Representative Gruenberg.
I move the amendment.
Hearing objection. Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, would you rule on the divisibility of this question?
On amendment number 6?
Yes.
I cannot see how it can be divided at this point.
Yeah, we have a brief at ease.
With the House at ease. These Representative Phillips had inquired whether or not the question is divisible. In further scrutiny, the amendment can be divided.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kabila.
Before you rule on that, may I make one other point to you privately? At ease.
Okay, House at ease. Be at ease. The question on amendment number 6 was whether or not it was divisible. The chair, in looking at it closer, can see that it is divisible. The question is whether or not this body feels it's advisable to do so. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the maker of the amendment, I have no objection and support the division motion. The members need to look, and by the way, first of all, there's a technical typo or something. There aren't 21 lines on page 2 of the bill. Obviously, the intent is to delete everything after section 1, and so the amendment is technically to the bill as unamended, either that or change line 21 to read line 17. The clerk can simply do that. The first part of the, if we divide it, the first part will delete everything after section 1 of the bill. And I think that nobody has any problem with section 1 of the bill. I think a lot of people, including myself, have problems with section 2 of the bill. I do not want to go on record as having this House of Representatives closing the primary. And if we have the current language in there, we, the members of this House, the members on this floor at this time, will be closing the primary regardless of what happened in the Republican Party convention. So that is separable, and it is divisible. And the second question then will be whether to put the new Section 2 on. But I think the question is clearly divisible.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the whole amendment, I think it's kind of ironic where the bill that we just passed talked about the basic civil rights of individuals and the freedom that we all take for granted under the Constitution of the state or the United States. And I was just going through our particular constitution when we read this part here, and I wonder if it's interfering with the source of government. Is it interfering in Section 3?
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
State your point of order, Representative.
Speaker, we're on a question of division, not the amendment.
That is correct.
Is that
Representative
the
Martin,
right now?
The question before the body here is whether or not we want to...
I thought he just asked the question. He didn't move it. There was no motion on that.
Speaker, I only...
Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, I only made an inquiry. Did that make
you made
a motion
an inquiry.
It, so.
There's no motion.
Okay, it's been clarified that the Representative Randy Phillips asked if it was divisible. We have decided that it is divisible. Nobody has moved that it be divided.
Right.
So we're talking about Amendment Number 6.
That's what I said, sir, on the whole...
You're right, Representative Martin.
Thank you.
Representative Martin?
Thank you, sir. After 14 years, I won one.
On the 114th day, you strike, huh?
Yes.
I watched your last vote on that other bill.
Also, I really think that this interferes with Section 5 of our Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, Section 6, freedom of assembly, and also you may say freedom of petitioning, because that's how everybody works out their candidacy and things like that. And to be denied a basic right that we now allow within our system, we don't want to go back to the old ways where there is party backroom decision made. And people have a right through association to open their decision to members among themselves. And to be denied, basically, because of a government function, to be denied that government function for one group and not another, is certainly questionable, especially in the good bill that we did pass right now, the last one, demanding the civil rights of individual from 1965, demanding the rights of individual from 1983 under the Civil Rights Act. I'm going to go back to the 14th and 15th Amendment that opened primary elections, very much so opened primary elections. So I think this is a big step backwards in the national history of allowing people and open access among electing people among themselves, even though they may associate within an individual party.
Representative Covino.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this amendment, the effect would be to say that anybody that's going to have a primary other than the one ballot that everybody is on has to do it themselves. They have to pay for it themselves. Can't use state employees to do it. So they would have to go out some way and do it themselves. We discussed this in the State Affairs Committee because none of us really liked the reason that we were there dealing with this subject. And this body, again, has said we want an open primary. The simple fact of the matter is that the party has a constitutional right to have a primary of their choice. They chose to limit access to their primary. Now, if we pass this amendment, I think we are doing just as bad as some other people have done here and totally politicizing this process unnecessarily. I think then we are going to come out and look like the bad guys, and we're going to end up in court. We have, the State Affairs Committee has, and I have personally, gone from the beginning with this process of trying to find a solution and passing a law that we would not have to come back next year and deal with again and continue to change. So this law, while it is not exactly what I want, it makes our intent, we want an open primary, but it allows a mechanism for the party to have it differently. This is not a good way to do it. We were informed by two different lawyers in the Department of Law that there may be some constitutional questions for this. Why? Because the courts have ruled already the Republican Party has a right to limit who votes in their primary. And if we pass this law, the court may just look upon it as a way to block them from having their own primary. So I don't think it gets us anywhere. Mr. Speaker, I think we should, keep the primary open as much as constitutionally possible. But if they want to, or another party wants to go and do their thing, allow the people to decide if they did the right thing or not. And we should defeat this amendment.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've handed out a very brief legal opinion, one paragraph. There is no case that has been found or other legal authority that would invalidate such a law. This is an issue of first impression because, frankly, what the Republican Party has done in this state after the Taschen case is an issue of first impression. There is no case on point. It is one thing to allow a party the right of association. That does not mean that the public has to pay for it. And I think the state has a compelling state interest in maintaining the open primary and the availability of the ballot to as many people as possible. And if a group of people wishes to run a private party primary for only certain people and not permit most of the Alaskans or a large number of the Alaskans, not most, but a large number of Alaskans to participate, the state has no obligation to fund that. And frankly, I think that by not funding it, that indicates our disapproval of the way this was done. This amendment simply says that the public is not going to pay for it. If you wish to do it, we are not going to provide any funds, facilities, or public employees for it.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I didn't think this amendment was serious at first. You know, we had a long debate yesterday on this whole issue, and I'm sure everyone realizes this strikes the whole bill. You know, there is no more bill. This is just something thrown on. I don't really understand completely the implications of requiring parties to pay. Certainly it benefits whichever parties are the bigger ones that have some money can do that kind of thing. But I really think we ought to go back to where we were yesterday and, you know, reflect on what the bill does and the purpose of the bill and not just delete the whole bill.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's exactly how I feel about this. It's obvious that, as the Majority Leader pointed out, that striking Section 2 and 3 is the whole bill. And I certainly am not interested in substituting another bill in the form of an amendment into this bill, which is sponsored by the State Affairs Committee over objection of a committee chairman that I think has done an admirable job in trying to get as much public opinion and everything into this bill as possible. I urge you to defeat the amendment.
Would the House entities... Amendment number 6 before us, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After some consideration, I'm going to withdraw the amendment.
Are there any objections? Are there any? Do I take that as objections? Amendment number 6 has been withdrawn.
Speaker.
The bill pops back up in third reading. Representative Lamar.
Question.
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 Ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 327, Judiciary Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Barnes? From nay to yea. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
20 yeas, 20 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 327, Judiciary Amendment, has failed to pass the House on reconsideration. Would the House stand at ease? At ease. We're under unfinished business. Is there any further unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Taylor?
Mr. Speaker, if I might just ask us concerning the chair's intent, we do have one matter still on the floor or before us, and that's 540. I'd like to see that moved out of here. I know many other people would, too. Unfortunately, it's still kind of in a state of flux, as I understand it, and a little bit of additional time might be necessary. If it was your intent to adjourn for the day, I would ask that we just recess subject to a call of the chair.
No, it wasn't the intent to return, because 540 is the main attraction for the day. We just had some preliminary bouts here, and
Right. Okay.
We do have, I was just wondering if there's some other unfinished business that we had to deal with here. Most of it we've picked up by going back to reports of standing committees.
I think we've wrapped up everything, but if there's anything else additional you want to do, I'd be happy to sit through that before we leave. But I think we may need some time off the floor, Mr. Speaker, to accomplish the last bill.
Would the House stand at ease, Representative Hudson? The chair to ask for a recess, and it will be at the call of the chair, and we hope to be back here at 4:30 pending an amendment that we're looking for.
Mr. Speaker, if just a brief announcement, if I might. I'd ask that the Republican caucus please meet me over on the sixth floor as soon as possible so as to expedite this thing and we can get back on the floor.
Yeah, 4:30 we're looking at. Representative Navarre? The House stand at ease. Back to order. Are there any objections if we move back up to reports of special committees? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you read reports of special committees?
From the Conference Committee Considering Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 405 Finance and Committee Substitute for House Bill 405 Finance Amended, an act making appropriations for operating and loan program expenses of state government and to capitalize funds and providing for an effective date. The committee respectfully requests limited powers of pre-conference on the following specific points, and they are attached. The report is signed by all conference members.
Okay. By attached, there's an extensive attachment in relation with the COLA, Mr. Chairman, that runs throughout all the provisions. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It does run through all departments because there are significant small differences in almost every line item on the budget side. We need limited powers in order to make sure that we're able to adjust between those areas.
Okay, the chair will grant those limited powers of free conference.
I want to say we had no objection.
What?
Motion.
No. No, we're having so much fun here. I thought we'd just... Mr. Majority Leader.
Okay, I'll ask unanimous consent. We stand at recess. The call of the chair about 4:30.
Okay, about 4:30. Would the House come to order? Before the at ease, we're about to handle the last item under unfinished business that we had, and that was dealing with House Bill 540. There is a call. Would the Sergeant of Arms gather up those members that are not present here so we can satisfy the call and start moving on House Bill 540. Would the House stand at ease? Let's come back to order. The body will stand in recess until roughly 5:30, and it'll be in recess at the call of the chair. Will the House come to order? Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like permission to revert up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce a very special person for the interior and the state of Alaska in the Taylor Gallery. Will Mayo is down here visiting, and he is the president and chairman of TANNA Chiefs Conference. He's the chairman of the Alaska Intertribal Council, AFN board member, and the vice president of National Congress American Indians, and last but not least, chairman of the Coalition for Rural Districts Reapportionment. I'd like you to help me welcome him.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Brown and I have the pleasure today to introduce a constituent of ours. He's down in Juneau working with the environmental lobby, and he's in the Paratrovich Gallery. Please help me welcome Tony Hartshorn.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Carney and I do have a constituent. She's with the Ladies Petroleum Club. She's from Palmer, and I've just met her today, and her name is Ellis Brumgardner. Ellis, please stand up.
Any further guests for introduction? Having no further guests for introduction, that brings us back to the item before us, and I want the minority leader, as well as the majority leader and the members, to listen very carefully, because there is what I call a perverse use of the call of the House. The call of the House is to bring members into the chambers to vote. The call of the House should not be used to protect people who make that call and are not in the chambers to hold the other people hostage. So if that becomes the situation, that call of the House will be ruled out of order and not acceptable. The call of the House may be used only to bring people into this room, not to use the call of the House to keep the business of this body being conducted because some people are off in some other place. And I want that understood, because that is the way we're going to handle it. Representative Taylor.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, thank you. And I do not bear any umbrage at those comments at all. In fact, they're more than deserved. And I apologize to you and to the body for any delays we or I may have caused. Believe me, Mr. Speaker, I believe that what we were doing was in the best of faith with this body to save time on this floor and to get this thing moving. But you're absolutely correct, and I'm sorry that we didn't get back to you sooner. Thank you.
The proper thing perhaps would have been to hold this over till the next day's calendar while other business could be conducted. We are under the call of the House right now. We have several members missing. I would like the Sergeant of Arms, and he's already in the process of doing that, is to satisfy this call so we can conduct it. And if we don't do it soon, this bill will be held over till tomorrow's calendar. Would the House stand at ease? Back to order. The call has been satisfied. The last time we dealt with House Bill 540, the clerk had read through all the committee substitutes, and then we moved it at that time down into unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader, we have a series of committee substitutes. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent we adopt the Judiciary CS.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the committee substitute Judiciary has been adopted. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if we might go down to committee announcements.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Committee will not meet today. We'll meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. All bills on today's calendar will be held until tomorrow morning.
Under committee announcements, Representative Donnelly.
Sounds like a good idea, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee will not meet today, and bills will be held over till tomorrow.
May we have a brief at ease?
The House stand at ease. At ease, we had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 540 Judiciary in second reading. Mr. Majority Leader, the chair is looking for a motion to hold this bill in second reading for tomorrow's calendar.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that this bill be held in second reading till tomorrow's calendar.
Are there any objections?
I'm wiping my, I don't have a handkerchief, but okay. If I did, I'd wipe my hand.
Okay. The bill will be for us, will be before us tomorrow in second reading and available for this amendment that's coming. Do we have any further unfinished business? Representative Ivan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under announcements.
Proceed.
The Special House Committee on Military and Veteran Affairs will meet tomorrow at 8:30, room 17, to hear a briefing on Coast Guard activities within the state. This was rescheduled from last week, and all members of this House are welcome and invited to attend. Thank you.
Okay. Any further committee announcements? Representative McLean.
Can we have a brief at ease, please?
Will the House stand at ease?
A very brief.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we're under committee announcements, standing or special. Mr. Majority Leader.
Under excused absences. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would request that Representative Hanley be excused from the call of the House from 6 a.m. tomorrow to the end of a medical appointment for medical reasons.
Are there any objection? Hearing none, the gentleman will be excused at that time. Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a majority caucus immediately upon adjournment.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Back up or back down to committee announcements, please.
That's where we are.
Thank you. I would like to announce that the Resources Committee has been canceled for today, and tomorrow at 3 p.m. We will hopefully hear House Bill 585, Senate Joint Resolution 10, Senate Joint Resolution 40, Senate Joint Resolution 46, Senate Bill 440, Senate Bill 405, Senate Bill 465, and House Bill 584. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further announcements? Would the House stand at ease for a moment? Representative Navarre? Would the House come back to order? Representative Navarre?
Speaker, if I might make a brief announcement while Mr. Navarre is looking for his stuff.
Okay, Representative.
I just wanted to, again, for those members that didn't hear me, Republican Caucus will be meeting with Co-Chair McLean in the court building, room 603 at 7:30 this evening.
Any further standing committee announcements? Special announcements, general announcements. Anything else to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader?
I ask unanimous consent.
Check. Do we have a brief at ease?
Will the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Representative Navarre.
Thank you.